Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It is a blessing to be in the house. I was going to say the house of God, but the house of God is anywhere, right?
It is.
And we have been blessed to be learning from Tara Rye's Bible study, Tell It Well, which is based on the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts, which has just been an amazing blessing. We're in chapter 4 today and the next 4 weeks, and Tara gets to story the first... How many verses of chapter 4?
We'll do all of chapter
4. Oh, the whole chapter.
That's
right.
We're going to do the whole chapter. But before I do, I have to tell what happened. I was doing Omaha Christian Academy at chapel.
Yes.
I've got to tell this story because it just blows my mind. Last month, I went to Omaha Christian Academy and storied the Old Testament. And I showed up back this week, so the month of December, and I storied the New Testament. As I was telling how Jesus went up to people and said, come follow me, I waved my hand over a group of children as I was telling the story. The children stood up and it makes me want to cry, and just began to follow me.
Wow.
It was just, they were so into the story. It's like, how could I not?
Aww.
And I looked over at another group and I waved my hand and they stood up. And I ended up having 10 to 12, I didn't count them, children that from that point forward, when I was storing the New Testament, they followed me. And by God's grace, he allowed me to ad lib, so I would tell them. And now the disciples would, and they would do what I would ask them to do, sit, stand, walk, whatever. But they are who made it happen. And I thought, Jesus, this is the purest, I think, response I have ever seen in my life to you. I don't think I've ever seen anything more pure as it was. And as I was storing in the New Testament, little children, because it was kindergarten through fifth grade, I had children in the room that I could see, even though they were in a Christian school, had never heard the whole message at one time. And they've heard pieces, but they had never heard the whole, and they were just, and I mean, they were gasping when things happened, and they were laughing, and it was the most amazing response I've ever seen in my life. It was the sweetest. It was such a gift to me to see the impact.
I love that.
And I thought, no wonder why Jesus tells us, let the little children come to me.
Mm.
Well, now, let's look at some of those disciples. We ended last week, for a whole month, we talked about the beggar at the gate called Beautiful. And now Peter and John they're essentially in trouble with the Sanhedrin. And this is going to be what happens because they healed this man. It was such a miraculous thing, and it was such an amazing response on the people. The people were just crazy with excitement and amazement that the Sanhedrin couldn't stay out of it. And this is what occurs. So,
and the Sanhedrin is?
The religious leaders.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll go into, as we go through explanations, I'm actually going to talk a little bit about the differences between Pharisees and Sadducees. But we'll do that when we're going through the dialogue about the passage. All right, here it goes. After they had gone to the temple to pray, and the temple guard, they had healed that man, the temple guard was upset with Peter and John because of what they had been doing and speaking of the resurrection. And so the religious leaders came and they indicted them. And because it was late at night, they went ahead and they put them in prison. But those who had been watching and observing and seeing as Peter and John had healed this beggar, they had over 2,000 that added, and now the disciples grew to 5,000, and just a huge amount of growth is occurring. The next day, when everyone woke up, the religious leaders went out to get Peter and John, and there were rulers, there were religious leaders, there was scholars, there was Annas, the chief priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander. In fact, everyone that was a religious or Roman official had come out. I mean, it was huge. And they stood Peter and John in the middle of the room, and they looked at them and they said, who put you in charge? Whose name are you doing this? And what business do you have in doing this? And this is when Peter, full of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He stood up and looked at them and he said, religious leaders, listen. If I'm going to be charged today for the healing of this sick man, I have nothing to hide from you. Mm. In fact, I want you to know, and you need to listen, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the one you killed on the cross. He's the one that God raised from the dead. He stands whole today before you because of Jesus' name. Mm. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. You threw him out, and now he is the capstone. And salvation comes through no other name. There is only one name that can bring salvation, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. And it is through Jesus Christ that you can be saved. And at this point, the leaders are just amazed. You can just see their mouths hanging. They're in shock what these ordinary, unschooled men were able to do. It was very obvious to them that they had been with Jesus. And they couldn't deny. They had the healed man standing right there beside them. And they looked at each other and they're like, what do we do with these men? What are we going to do? And so they conspired and decided what they needed to do is that they needed to send them out of the room so that they could talk, because they didn't want them in the room while they dialogued what they were going to do. And they go, you know, all of Jerusalem knows about this miracle. Everyone has seen and they know what has happened. How can we keep this from spreading? We've got to do what we can do to stop them. And they decided, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to tell them, you cannot speak in the name of Jesus to anyone. So they went and they had Peter and John brought back in. And they stood them before them and they said, never are you to speak in the name of Jesus or to teach in the name of Jesus again. And then they were getting ready to send them on their way. And Peter looks at them and he says, do you think God wants us to obey you? Or do you think God wants us to obey him? You can do what you're going to do, but we're going to do what we're going to do. We can't keep quiet. And then they sent them off. And as they went off, they knew that they couldn't hold them because they had no reason to keep them. So they threatened them before they let them go. And then they let them leave. And the man who had been healed for more than 40 years, along with all the people that were watching, were praising God for what had happened. Peter and John, so faithful they are, they ran back immediately to the disciples. And as they told the disciples all that had happened, they gathered together and they began to pray. And as they began to pray, they cried out, Master, Master Creator, Creator of everything, you told David. And he said, why are the people so furious? Why do foolish people make their plans? The leaders of this earth, they prepare against you, God. They are preparing. They did with Herod. They did with Pilate. The Gentiles, the Jews, all of them are against your Holy One. They did what you already had decided would happen. And Lord, we ask you, listen. Listen to their threats. Hear them, Lord. Make us brave. Mm-hmm. Show us your power. As we seek you and seek to do in the name of Jesus, make us into your holy servant. And as they were praying, the house began to shake and the earth quaked and the Holy Spirit filled them and they began to preach with a boldness as never before. And the whole group of them were united as one. They were of one heart, one mind. They shared everything in common. There was no need for anyone, and they began to become a powerful witness of the resurrection of what the Lord Jesus Christ had done. They went out and they took their fields and they sold them, and there was no one who had need. And there was one man named Joseph Barnabas, and he was called the son of encouragement. He sold his field and he went and he took all that he made and laid it at the feet of the apostles. May God honor the storing of his word, Acts 4. It was amazing. Is that not an amazing passage?
Oh, I love it.
I'm like, I get so excited about this chapter. It just, every time I start studying one of the chapters and getting ready to teach it, I think this is my favorite.
Oh, I think that too every time we meet. I'm like, it can't get any better.
No, it can't. It cannot get better. But what we have to understand is big issues happening here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The movement of God is so evident
mm-hmm.
that there is now a war happening. And on the human level, we see it as religious leaders with new religious leaders, or the Sanhedrin with the apostles. On the spiritual realm,
mm-hmm.
it's on authority.
Yeah.
It's in the authority. Because the question they come in and they mm-hmm. ask is, by whose authority and whose name do you do what you do? Why do you think they ask this question?
Because they wanted to know. They wanted to know who it is that they're going around saying is healing and performing miracles.
You're exactly right. They want to know. But do you think that it's they are willing to share? Do
no.
they have authority?
No.
The religious leaders. Who are in authority for the religious leaders? It's them.
Yeah.
And they're not willing at
all. To give that up.
No. At all. They're crazy for power.
Right. They want to know everything. That's why they wanted to know. So they can be in the loop.
Probably in the loop, but also so that they could be in control.
Right. They can cast it down.
Yeah. It's crazy. So the question, I did this when I was praying through this particular chapter. I always try to ask God, you know, can you show me like a main idea, a main theme, something that I'm learning? And I don't even sometimes even have to ask him. Sometimes he just makes it very clear. Mm-hmm. And this chapter was the movement of God and then the struggle for authority. What does it look like and what do we do and how do we handle it? As I was storing, I made a point that every person that was in authority that could be there was there. I mean, literally every person that could be. And I want to give a little breakdown so that you can see who all showed up on this particular day. It's kind of almost hilarious, and it's very convoluted because...
And this all came from the beggar.
Yeah, just because they healed this man.
In the gate called Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. All because this one man being healed. And so whenever we think that nothing can happen through just one person, the testimony of one
yes.
can shake a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a great way to put that.
I mean, and that's where we have to be willing to be the one. I mean, I'm just like, Sabrina, could I jump up and down anymore? Can they see me doing
this? She's been
with
Jesus all morning, and so she's bouncing up the walls. It's a good bounce, though.
It's a good bounce.
It's a Holy Spirit bounce.
The religious leaders that were there, I want to give you an idea of who all was there, okay? In the Bible study, I write, the plot thickens, all right, you know, because there's new players coming on. So we have Annas, who is known as, he's put in position as the high priest. The father-in-law, he is the actual father-in-law of Caiaphas.
Okay.
Okay. Annas is the Jews' high priest.
Okay.
He belongs to the Jews. The Roman officials decided to make their own high priest, and they made him Caiaphas. So within his own family, there's this battle of this Roman official and this Jewish official that, I mean, they put conflict with even within the religious leaders, okay? Do you see? I would hate to have been at those holiday gatherings. Because one represented the Roman officials.
But it wasn't something Caiaphas chose.
I'm sure that Caiaphas was more than willing to allow himself to be placed in that authority. Mm. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a conflict. Okay? And, yeah, but you're okay. Right. We could think that he's a nice guy, but honestly, I don't think he was because he's one of the guys that played the role in Christ, you know.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And so the Jewish people believe that Annas has the right to make the decisions. Mm-hmm. The Roman officials believe that it's Caiaphas. So we have this havoc going on. Some commentators say that John and Alexander were probably some of the very wealthy elite officials within the city. And that's why it just says John and Alexander. Everybody there knew who John and Alexander
they
were.
They didn't need a last name or anything.
They did not need an introduction. We don't know. But they're lifted up as, you know, this is who they are. And so I wanted us to grasp it. The other thing that we need to look at is that there is a struggle on the religious right to authority. Here we have these upstart apostles who've been given the power and authority by the Holy Spirit given to them at Pentecost. And here we have this Jewish high priest and Roman official that believe they have right to authority over the people. Now, who are you to bring a miracle about and heal a beggar at the gate called Beautiful? You know, I mean, this is happening. And I wrote this question down, and I just wrote some phrases, and I want to read this to you. Listen to this. Who makes someone have authority? Or we could say, what makes someone have authority? Is it the system or the people? Is it the people or the position? Is it the title or the person? Or is it the Lord? Think about all the different people, places, and positions and titles that of people of authority. When authority is granted, how is authority achieved? There are times that authority is assigned by title. There are times it's assigned by, like, the name. I'm born of the house of Judah. Sometimes it's position. You know, I am the vice president of da-da-da. Sometimes it is because I'm in a system. I'm an American. And so anywhere you go in the world, a lot of times they will say, oh, an American. They will place you in a position of authority because we have the title American. Sometimes it just happens for those reasons. But then there are the times when the Lord looks down and the Lord says, I'm given authority. And he has given it to these unschooled, ordinary men in behalf of these amazing men, as far as they're concerned, religious leaders. And they're upset because these apostles are taking authority in such a way that the people, now 5,000 of them, are starting to following them. And it really bothers them. In fact, the actual word, when it says unschooled in Greek, the actual word is idiotis, the word we get idiot from. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really viewed the apostles as not so good. And here they come in and they're able to heal the beggar who's been this way for over 40 years. 40 years. Huge struggle beginning to happen. We want you to come back and listen next week, because what we're going to do is we're going to start examining, as the movement of God happens, how we need to respond and how can we know it is the movement of God and not the movement of man when we're in a given circumstance. And we need to be able to know, and Scripture is very clear on what we need to do to determine if something is a movement of God. We don't have to wonder if it is. We can actually, through specific tests the Scripture gives us, analyze a specific situation with people and determine if it is of God or if it's of man. So you need to come back and see what we're going to find out through Acts 4, through the apostles. God bless.